So we are in the sermon series on the Apostles' Creed. So now we are in this last portion of the Apostles' Creed. And these promises are key for our faith. So we're talking about the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And the last piece of the Apostles' Creed is very important because it impacts the afterlife. And even though we are here and we are not planning to go anywhere anytime soon, preparing our souls and our hearts is very important, that we have a faith that has a foundation, and the foundation is Jesus. So the church is the bride of Christ, but at the end of the day, if you follow Jesus, you will be fine. There's no way to miss the mark when we are following Jesus. So let's start processing this last part of the Apostle Creed. So when we talk about forgiveness, Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." So forgiveness is the first step. It's a prerequisite for what God is asking us to do to join him for eternity. And the important piece of this is that forgiveness is the first step and requires a lot of humility to actually embrace God's plan for us. Number one, because it's not enough to be a good person, not enough to be a good citizen. We know people who are very good neighbors, and some of them are even better than some people in the church. Do you agree? But that's not enough. Because if you trust in your own deeds and you trust in your own actions, what you're saying is that you don't need a savior. So it doesn't matter if you feel or you think you are a big shot, that you have a lot of businesses or success, and you are a successful person, if you are very smart, you have many degrees, or if you feel like you are no one, both need Jesus. And we both need to repent and say, I don't trust myself, I don't trust my actions, I know that I cannot save myself, I need a savior. And that's the first step to lead us toward worship. You cannot worship God if you don't embrace first the fragility of your own life, and there's no way to actually pay for your own sins. And the Christian faith is the cosmological vision of the Christian faith is so powerful because we believe that God is already in his throne. He's reigning and creating the world, but he also impacts the world and then beyond that. And when you think about that, the application for our life, this is the application for it. The application is that I come from a country like in Cuba. So you have all this injustices and the thing that comes together with being a communist country and close like South Korea and China and other places where there is no way to actually see justice. So when you come to Christ, one of the things that you receive as a Cuban is that now you know that no matter what happens and no matter who does what, we all are going to give an answer for our actions. And even though when you know, even if it's the government or a neighbor or a person or a family member, some people do so much evil and they die peacefully. Do you know what I'm talking about? Other people do good all the time and they are loving and awesome and they go out in a very tragic accidents and tragic ways. But when you are a Christian, you know that we all are going to receive this judgment from God. And we all, sooner or later, have to give an answer for our actions. So if people don't pay in this life, we believe that we'll pay in the next life. If people were not blessed in this life, we believe they're going to bless in the next life. So that's something that the Christian faith has, and it's so important. Because at the end of the day, we don't have control of what happens. And I'm about to turn 50 this month. And here is what I realized after 50 years walking on earth. Okay? By now, you know that you have events, and they are happening all the time. Do we have controls of the events that happens? No. Then you have response, and it's the way we can respond to these events. And then you have the results or the outcomes of what we do. So in reality, we have no control of the events. We only have control of what? My response to it. I can choose how I'm going to respond to everything that is happening, and that will determine my destiny and my outcome. So when we talk about forgiveness, regardless of what is happening, I can decide I'm going to forgive or not. And that will determine if I'm actually following Jesus or not. So when we see this parable that Jesus was teaching us, the parable of the unfaithful servant, and I'm going to make a summary of it, Jesus basically was teaching that this man owned his master 100 bags of gold. And the master came to him and said, pay me. And he was praying and asking and pleading, forgive me, give me time so I can pay. And the master have mercy on him and release him, let him go. And then he left the room and found a fellow friend who owns him only. He owns him only 100 silver coins. And when the person pleaded to him, hey, no, forgive me, give me time. He said, no, pay me, pay me, pay me. Give me time with my family. Give me time and I will pay you. No, and send him to jail. And then he says that when the master heard about that story and what happened, he called the servant, the unfaithful servant, and this is what happened. That's what Jesus says. In anger, his master handed him over the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. In verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And that's what God is saying to us, is that he has forgiven us so much that whatever people do to us is nothing compared with God, with what God has forgiven us. And he's not looking at your mouth, he's looking at your heart. Because especially in America, people don't say forgive me enough. They use, you use another word, and the word is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Hear that. I'm sorry, which means I'm putting the blame and I'm making myself the most important thing. When you hurt someone, who is the most important person? The person that you hurt, not you. So when you say, I'm sorry, it's still about you. Okay? Forgiveness, on the other hand, is about the other person. So when you say, forgive me, now you're making this the main object, is the other person, and you are restoring the other person's power again back. And it's powerful when you hear, forgive me. Now, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me. It's my fault. I'm assuming the blame. I'm responsible for my actions. When you do that, Jesus is rejoicing in heaven. My daughter has a Bible, and she has a little stick in the Bible. It has Jesus showing up like this. Do you know what it says on the bottom? I saw that. So when you think about this, Jesus is seeing everything we do, when we forgive and when we don't. Now, the impact of this is that when you follow Jesus, your name is written in the book of life. So the moment you say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as Lord and Savior, your name is written in the book of life. And when you see that, God carries that book with a lot of joy, because now you have acknowledged that you need a Savior, and the sacrifice of Jesus was worthy on the cross. When that book requires and underlines redemption, forgiveness, and the importance of faith in Jesus. And those who are found in the book have eternal life in the future. But this is not something that we, once we say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and he writes your name, it's going to stay there forever. You have to keep making the same decision. We don't believe in this idea of save, always save. No, you save, but you have to continue making the same decision every day, following Jesus honoring the scriptures, obeying God, loving your neighbor, loving God. So when we understand that, we're going to see why this is important. Number one, because we are dead in our sins based on the actions of the first Adam. But we are also blessed and having life and come to life in relation to Jesus as the second Adam. So when you are here, you have to decide who you are going to follow. And if you follow Jesus, you are going to end up in heaven with Jesus. If you don't follow Jesus and you continue to follow in the world, then there is judgment and there is a life apart of God in the future. Now Jesus says to Martha and Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe in the resurrection? I have been teaching about the evidences of the resurrection. We don't have a faith based on air or based on men's words and actions and rules. We have a faith based on evidence that Jesus actually came back from the dead. This is not wishful thinking. No. Jesus is a historical person, and he was born and died and was resurrected, and he came back from the dead. And we understand that we embrace this faith knowing who Jesus is. And the question is, do you believe? Do you believe in Jesus? And if you do, then it's time to forgive. It's time to worship him because he's God. And we come here and we affirm this powerful statement. I believe in the communion of the saints. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. I believe in the resurrection of the body. Now, we also see that when Moses was interceding for Israel, he was pleading to God, and he said to God, please forgive their sin, but if not, then blot me out of the book you have written, referring to the book of life. And hear what God, Yahweh, responds. The Lord replies to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out my book. This is serious. And what is important here is that Moses was interceding for Israel, but he was not worthy enough because he was a human being. So God is saying, you don't have what is needed actually to pay for Israel's sins. Only my son, when he comes, he was preparing the way because one day Jesus will be the one interceding. And he's the one owning the book, and he's the one paying for your sins, and he's the one paying for my things, for every word, every action, every thought. And now Jesus is the one who intercedes, and he's worthy. And now he's saying, those who are in my book, the book of the Lamb. The same way, King David, he was fighting the enemies of God. And then he says, may they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the writers. This is serious. And then he's pleading with God. And I believe with all my heart that when you have the Spirit of God, you are not going to judge the world. You are going to ask God for forgiveness. We are intercessors. We have the Holy Spirit. We don't say, hey, you know, just come, fire and curse. No. We ask for forgiveness. We intercede. You ask for your own sins, but you also ask for the sins of the church, and you ask for the sins of the nation, and then you ask for the sins of the nations. That's the Spirit of God, interceding, being faithful. That's what that means. And then in Revelation 3 and Revelation 13, you're still seeing how those names are being, there is the challenge that those who are not written in the book of life are those worshiping the beast. In other words, worshiping the world. And people are always concerned about the beast and the mark and all of that. I'm here this morning to say to you, worry about your soul first. Because if you are embracing the worldview of the world, you are already marked. If you are following Jesus and you are honoring God and you are loving God and your neighbor and you honor the scriptures, then there's no way you can be marked. So don't worry about the mark. Worry about the way you are living. Worry about your cosmovision for the world, your worldview. How you process reality is through Jesus, is through the word, or through your own opinions and feelings and desires. That's the question. So if you do that, then your name is written in the book of life. I already preached about this, and I'm going to go back to it. I preach about it when we talk about the resurrection and the final judgment. This is just a reminder that here we are. And when we face death, and those who are in Christ, that Jesus promised, will not see death. So I believe with all my heart that when your soul leaves your body, if you are in Jesus, guess what? You're not going to see this Hollywood picture of the angel of death and stuff like that. You're going to see what? Light. Jesus will come for you. The angels will come for you. You're not going to see death. Now, if you don't have Jesus, that's a whole different story. And I've been with people at the moment they die. Others, some people see, I see lights. Others are fear because they see darkness. You decide. I decide. While my soul is in my body, I decide what to do. And one day I will share with you another story that happened when I had the car accident and I lost my first wife. What happened at that moment? I will share that later. But this is the call to action. Number one, examine your relationship with God. Forgive. Ask for forgiveness. Be humble. Spend time with God. Remember that your name is written in the book of life. That God created heaven for you. He wants you to be with him forever. Let's keep the relationship together. Two, live with eternal perspective. Remember, everything we do, everything we say impacts eternity. So don't take actions carelessly. Take action knowing that you and I are going to face the Lord one day. And lastly, share the good news of Jesus. If you love people, preach the gospel to them. Not because you want to convert them and you want them to be religious and you want to come come to church every Sunday. No, show and preach Jesus and let Jesus take care of the rest. If you love them, you want them to be and experience the best gift ever. And his name is Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the forgiveness of sins, the hope of the resurrection, and the promise of eternal life. Help us to live out this belief in our daily lives and to be a light to those around us. Give us the strength and courage to forgive as we have been forgiven, to live, Lord, to live in the hope of the resurrection and to share the message of eternal life with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.